We now know our first UEFA Champions League finalists. On an icy night in Manchester, Riyad Mahrez kept his cool to seal the tie for City.
Breaks kindly for Riyad Mahrez to put Manchester City in front. Foden across the face of goal, and Riyad Mahrez has scored again. Manchester City are heading towards Istanbul.
So Pep Guardiola's side overcome Paris Saint-Germain to progress 4-1 on aggregate and book their first ever Champions League final appearance. Stay with us for all the best analysis and reaction to tonight's dramatic semi-final second leg. Plus, we look ahead to tomorrow's last four encounter in London. Hello from me, Rob Daly, as we review the Champions League action that we have seen. Riyad Mahrez, pitch side right now at the City of Manchester Stadium, being interviewed. One of the stars of the tie. He was tremendous in Manchester and scored three goals over the 180 minutes. Commentator Stephen Wyeth is with us tonight. Hello, Stephen, and European football expert Andy Brassel to review City 2, Paris Saint-Germain 0, 4-1 on aggregate. Andy, your first thoughts?
So impressive by Manchester City, and Paris Saint-Germain arrived with a positive attitude that they were going to score these two goals and get themselves back in the tie. And the way that City dealt with that, the way that they defended, the way that they counter-attacked and made the most of their opportunities, their economy on the ball, the work ethic, everything about this performance was so impressive and so mature, and they showed a composure that they've never even come close to in the UEFA Champions League in previous seasons. And when you think they're coached by, I think, who most people would say is the best coach in the world in Pep Guardiola, the step up that they've made this season, so much of the credit has to go to the players as well as the coach.
They were measured, they were controlled, and it is what Pep Guardiola was insistent upon in his press conference he needed from his side. Stephen, three-word match report time for City, Paris Saint-Germain.
Culmination of excellence.
We'll take that as Manchester City are rewarded for their efforts tonight in the UEFA Champions League and over the past few years. Let's remind ourselves of how things unfolded in Manchester.
Over the top to release Zinchenko down the left-hand side. He's got space to pull it back to the edge of the penalty area. Here's De Bruyne looking to pick his corner, and then it breaks kindly for Riyad Mahrez to put Manchester City in front.
What an absolutely fantastic pass from the goalkeeper. And Zinchenko, great ball to De Bruyne at the back, and Mahrez so alert, sliding it in with his right foot. Really good goal for Manchester City.
Di Maria crossing, Marquinhos arriving, and he's hit the crossbar with a header. Di Maria with the effort, with Ederson off his line, and he's just off target.
Just a little bit too much curl on it. If it had stayed straight, it was in. There was a lot of goal to aim at.
Deflected kindly for Neymar, who skips inside, still going. Neymar, what a moment this could be, but once again, a block from a Manchester City player, and then the effort from the edge of the penalty area. Ander Herrera on the volley, once again blocked. This time, Ruben Dias. They're queuing up to block shots, Manchester City defenders. Out to the left-hand side, and Foden has got space to operate in. Inside it comes to De Bruyne, back from De Bruyne towards Foden, across the face of goal, and Riyad Mahrez has scored again. And this time it might just be a tie clincher. Manchester City are heading towards Istanbul, and the final of the UEFA Champions League for the first time. A quite scintillating goal on the counter-attack to make it 2-0 on the night, 4-1 on aggregate.
Mahrez in exactly the spot you expect him to be, and the man from Paris looks like he's going to break Parisian hearts.
Well, what's just happened here? Red card has been shown to Angel Di Maria for an off-the-ball incident, and Paris Saint-Germain's Champions League hopes are unravelling. Manchester City's class of 2021 are club history makers. They are off to the UEFA Champions League final for the first time, full-time in Manchester, 2-0 thanks to two Riyad Mahrez goals, 4-1 their triumph on aggregate.
Super work from Manchester City to see off the French champions. They appear to be on the brink of another Premier League title as well. Stephen, we'll get into the main mechanics of the game and the main moments, but what impressed you most about City overall?
The thing that has so often gone wrong for Manchester City when they have come so close in the past or looked like they would be the team to go on and perhaps win the UEFA Champions League, and that was their defending tonight. It was everything that it needed to be in terms of its organisation, the levels of concentration, but then also the commitment to make challenges at the right time in the right areas, and in those few moments when Paris did manage to get into shooting positions, to put their body on the line, to get blocks shot, get shots blocked, and more often those shots were being blocked by Ruben Dias, who was absolutely outstanding.
He was fantastic, Stephen, and a deserved man of the match. And
is that your man of the match? Is that official? Is he officially the man
of
the match?
Yeah, he's the UEFA.com man of the match.
Quite right.
And there's no doubt about it. And I think when we talk about how well they defended collectively, we always think traditionally that the front players set that intention, don't we? And there's no doubt that what Mahrez and Foden and De Bruyne did in terms of closing was excellent. However, having a defender whose passion is defending rather than necessarily defending by containment and keeping the ball, it's changed Manchester City. It has changed the whole tone of this team this season. And Ruben Dias has been the best signing that they've made in absolutely ages, simply because he's a leader and he's not just done his bit. He's not just brought something very new to this Manchester City team, an extra edge, an extra bit of calm, an extra bit of durability. But he's done what you expect from the very best players in world football. He's raised the level of those around him.
There was a wonderful moment when Zinchenko made that block to deny Neymar, and they all celebrated. How did you put it, Steve? Like he'd scored the last-minute winner or something?
It was
to that effect.
If you were looking for a champagne moment in the tie, that was it, wasn't it? Because that was the last chance, really, for Paris to get back into it. Neymar getting the shot away, and it was Alexander Zinchenko flying in to make the block. And I think that showed in that moment, that brief moment in time, the collective resolve of the Manchester City team, that it was just as important to them tonight not to concede as it was to score at the other end.
We can hear from the man who got both goals on the night, the main man, Riyad Mahrez.
Very good game. We didn't start good again. I don't think we had a very good first half, but we scored the goal. And then we was more comfortable after the goal. And second half, I think we played very good. We had a lot of chances. We could score more. And then they lost their nerves, and they had a red card. And it was more comfortable for us. They had to come at us. So maybe sometimes we was a bit deeper, and then they lose the ball. We are good at in counter as well, and that's what the true goal was, and then we were happy.
Riyad Mahrez had three goals across the tie. I think he was probably my player of the game, especially when it did go down to 10, and his confidence and ability to stay on the ball, to dribble around players and keep City moving in pursuit of more goals. Prior to his opener, Andy, Paris started very well, and actually over the course of the game, City only had 45% of the ball. So what happened in those opening moments?
I think you have to look at the Marquinhos effort off the crossbar. That was important. The Di Maria one, where Bernardo Silva lost the ball and he didn't make the most of it. As Stephen pointed out, it wasn't an easy chance, but it was one that maybe Di Maria has got the technical quality to be able to take. But I think it's easy to say that goals change games, but the Riyad Mahrez goal, partly because of the manner, the way that Manchester City went from back to front so quickly with that brilliant Edison pass, and the way De Bruyne's shot quite fortuitously fell for Mahrez to put it in. Also the timing, I think, bearing in mind how Paris started on the front foot, it knocked the stuffing out of them a little bit and allowed City to really compose themselves. I think the timing of it was absolutely crucial, the way it was slightly against the run of play, and that it was reasonably early on. So it just, I think, reduced Paris's margin forever. You know, they could play with more freedom when it was 0-0. But then they know if they concede a second, it's all over.
And it felt like that when Morris did score the second. By the way, Morris is only the second player to score in both legs of a Champions League semi-final tie for an English club after Sadio Mane in 2017-18 against Roma. In terms of the game itself as well, Stephen, for you, how key was it that Kylian Mbappe was not part of Paris Saint-Germain's 11, out with injury on the bench, but of course not used?
It was absolutely massive. And in many ways, that was the game-changing moment, because we thought he would at least be able to play a part in the latter stages, if required. But the fact that he wasn't even able to come on when the tie was still salvageable demonstrates just how injured he clearly is. And without him on the field, Paris's ability to threaten Manchester City was reduced dramatically, because he had the pace to get in behind, to expose any inadequacies in the Manchester City defending, which we weren't necessarily, you know, but the evidence tonight would suggest that there weren't going to be any under any circumstances. But we always knew that Neymar and Di Maria had the ability to carry the ball into Manchester City territory, but it was Mbappe, his presence on the field would have enabled them to do that in a way that was more damaging to Manchester City. And the fact that Mauro Icardi barely got a touch when he was on, and his replacement Moise Keane didn't have too much more involvement, shows you just how badly they missed their leading goal scorer tonight.
I think that's absolutely right. And how can you not miss a player like Kylian Mbappe, Stephen? But yeah, I have to say, can't underrate the job that Manchester City did in a defensive sense, particularly on Neymar and Verratti. Because if you stop Neymar and Verratti being able to provide, Icardi can't do anything without the ball. He needs the ball in the penalty box. And I lost count of the amount of times that he was sort of ushering his palms in front of himself and sticking his arm up and going, what about me? But it wasn't the fault, really, of those would-be playmakers. Because what I thought was that the enduring image of the second half for me, and Stephen pointed it out in commentary, the fact that we saw Neymar coming to the edge of the D of his own penalty area to pick up the ball, that Verratti was reconverted from the number 10 that Pochettino's made him to that player who knocks it about right in front of the defence, because that was the only place that they could get the ball.
And the thing is with Neymar this season in particular is that he's given us wonderful flashes of brilliance, memorable moments of skill, astonishing goals that stick in the memory. But in terms of sheer volume of goals, he's been completely overshadowed by Kylian Mbappe, especially in recent weeks. Mbappe scored 21 goals in 19 matches since the middle of January. That is the kind of threat that they were suddenly deprived of this evening.
Yeah, 8 in his previous 10 and 37 in 43 games this season. It was a massive blow not to have Kylian Mbappe on the night for Paris Saint-Germain. Angel Di Maria's red card, no arguing with that. A moment of petulance that cost him and Paris. It probably cost them, didn't it, Andy, any route back into the game at that point?
Yeah, and I think you look at the chronology, it all went awry in 7 minutes, really. Because you think Pochettino makes the double substitution in bringing on Ken and Draxler in the 62nd minute. They concede a goal straight away, so any plan they've got to start again and to get those players into the game is completely out of the window. And then a further 6 minutes down the line, Di Maria goes off. So, you know, we saw in the first leg how quickly things can change in a short period of time. We saw that again this evening.
What will it mean to Pep Guardiola, Stephen, do you think, to do this? Manchester City, the 9th English club to reach a European Cup final.
It'll be really important to him, Rob, after the disappointments he's had in this competition. Won it with Barcelona in 2009 and 2011, but had semi-final disappointments with them. And also three times during his three seasons with Bayern, reaching the semi-final. And I think it is a demonstration of just, if you needed any evidence, the fact that Pep Guardiola, with the quality of players he's had at his disposal at Barcelona, at Bayern, and more recently at Manchester City, and despite the fact that he is one of the greatest football coaches ever, that he hasn't been to a final for a decade until now shows you just how those little bits, you need those little bits of luck and fortune to go your way in a UEFA Champions League campaign. It isn't just the best coach with the best players who goes the distance. And the fact that he has been away for so long is just a demonstration of how difficult this competition is to win, that there is never a foregone conclusion for any side.
And it's sort of, I suppose it points to the fact as well, the City haven't had injury issues. It's been a pretty good season in terms of injuries. They've had bad ones, haven't they, in recent seasons, particularly with De Bruyne missing big spells of campaigns. But
they've had the luxury, Rob, of over time being able to build this quite phenomenal squad, and that in a season of concentrated matches, an attritional season that we've never seen before, they have been able to rotate, to rest. They did have a spell where Kevin De Bruyne was out injured and it didn't derail them at all. They've, through their recruitment, through their attention to detail, Manchester City have earned their right to navigate their way through this season, seemingly without the injuries that have impacted one or two others, just because of the sheer quality and depth of the squad that they've put together.
But I think having 18, 19, 20 players who are not only of great quality, but have been absolutely on it all season has helped them. I mean, we look at this team now and it feels like some sort of footballing nirvana. But then you go back to the first half of the season where it was a bit more difficult and they were missing Aguero, when Ferran Torres came in and scored important goals in the Champions League, when Gabriel Jesus contributed, when Gundogan was pushed into more advanced roles and has scored a lot of very important goals for them. So I think all those players who have been expected to step up have stepped up, and it feels like they've had no injury absences at all. Because maybe if we look at this at the start of the season and say, okay, well, they're going into this UEFA Champions League semi-final without Aguero in the starting lineup, without Sterling in the starting lineup, without Jesus in the starting lineup, contextually that looks fine. If we look at that in September, October, do we think, oh, this is going to be a tough one for them?
Yeah.
As Stephen says, this team has evolved and all those players have stepped up to fill roles, some of them which are roles that they've not been accustomed to. You look at De Bruyne, you know, before this season, the only time he's really played in anything resembling the centre-forward role was when he was on loan at Werder Bremen years ago.
An extraordinary season for him and for Manchester City. City are the first English side to win 11 games in a single European Cup or Champions League campaign as well, and they've still got one more to go. By the way, look at that team from the weekend they had against Crystal Palace in the Premier League. Cancelo, Ake, Laporte, Mondi, none of them started. Fernandinho did, but then Rodri, Torres, Sterling, Aguero, Jesus. Absolutely ridiculous. We're getting reaction all the time tonight on Matchday Live. We're hearing from Paris Saint-Germain now. Here's their midfielder, Ander Herrera.
I think we were the better team today during 70 minutes, in my opinion. We created a lot of problems. We created crosses in the first half. We played between the lines. We didn't let them feel comfortable, which is difficult against Man City. But at the end, we have lost. Of course, we have things to improve. But I think we can leave today proud of our team. Last season, we were between the two best teams in Europe. This season, we are between the four best teams in Europe. We have to continue like this. I think we have tried everything. Congratulations to Man City. They have been more clinical than us. And that's all. Congratulations to them. They have played also a good tie. I think we were the better team in general, but we were not clinical.
It's always Ander Herrera, isn't it, who comes out after a defeat for Paris Saint-Germain, put forward into the team with the Drissagana Gueye suspended. Perhaps they missed him as well. Players sent off in both legs, of course, for Paris over the course of the semi-final. We were talking pre-match, Andy, about whether winning the Champions League is a fair barometer for a success for a coach, even at these elite clubs like Bayern and Juventus and Manchester City and Paris Saint-Germain. They're expected to win the domestic title. So how do you think Paris Saint-Germain will reflect on this season's Champions League run to the semis?
I think a lot went wrong in the group stages and their individual and collective quality pulled it out of the fire. Overall, in the knockout stage, they were excellent against top opposition. But Manchester City, just that little bit too good and that little bit too composed for them.
Let's hear from their head coach, Pep Guardiola.
Incredible, proud, and my first thoughts always for the players didn't play today. I know for them it's so tough, but they deserve to play, but everyone made his contribution in this Champions League season, and now it's time to enjoy it. Of course, we need one step to the Premier League. You have 2-3 weeks to prepare the final. We struggled a lot in the first half to make high pressing. The second half, we adjusted in the half time. We jumped much better. We regained the ball quicker. And the second half was fantastic the way we played, and aggregate 4-1. So a team like knockout Barcelona and Bayern Munich, so that means a lot to us. And next time, to celebrate it.
And he does seem calm, Stephen, and that was his message to his players pre-match. I think that's probably what impressed me most, is how composed in, you know, what could have been quite a fraught occasion tonight, that City looked to get the job done.
How often do we talk about footballers, their performances being an extension of the personalities of their manager? And I think we saw from Manchester City tonight collectively the serenity that Pep Guardiola has clearly managed to find in the 6 days since the first leg, and that played itself out on the field in front of us tonight.
OK, more to come on Wednesday semi-final second leg very shortly in London as we prepare to preview Chelsea against Real Madrid.
Enjoy the UEFA Champions League action with Matchday Live, then vote for your player of the week. You can pick your favourite on the official UEFA Champions League app from midnight Central European time on Wednesday, with the winner announced there on Friday.
So Chelsea-Real Madrid is at 1-1 after that first leg. Chelsea striker Timo Werner, who did have a fabulous chance, let's not forget, last week, might have a new centre-back pairing to put himself up against tomorrow night. Real Madrid's captain Sergio Ramos missed the first leg with injury. He'd also come back from COVID-19, but could come back for the second leg. Ahead of the game, Chelsea boss Thomas Tuchel was asked how his side are preparing for the potential return of Real Madrid's defensive talisman.
The main lesson is that we can trust ourselves, and the main lesson is that we have all the right to be in semi-final, and we should be self-confident, have absolutely no fear to face this challenge, because we deserve to be there and we can perform again on this level. This is the main lesson. Does Ramos play or not? Well, this is a tough question, because I simply don't know it. We will see after the training today and when they give the lineup tomorrow. Does it change for Real Madrid? Yes, a lot, because it's the captain. It's the captain of the most successful team in Europe in the last year. So yeah, it changes a lot. But we cannot lose our heads about this decision. I think that he will start. We will prepare for that. And we have to make sure that he cannot do it alone.
Phil Blacker, our commentator for Chelsea against Real Madrid, joins us now. Phil, very interesting here, that Thomas Tuchel there. You rarely hear a head coach actually say, yes, if he plays, there's a world of difference. Normally, you know, well, whoever we play, whoever plays at centre-back is going to be unbelievably strong. He does believe Ramos would make a difference.
He does, yeah. Hi, Rob. It's interesting to hear those comments, wasn't it? Because it was kind of the standout statement, I think, made at the press conference earlier. Zinedine Zidane did play it down. He refused to confirm whether Ramos would play or not. But I don't think there's any getting away from the importance of the Real Madrid captain in this side, particularly given that Rafa Varane will not feature and hasn't travelled after being injured coming off at half-time at the weekend against Osasuna. So that makes the return of Ramos all the more important. Hasn't played since international duty with Spain at the end of March. I think he's only got through a full 90 minutes once since January. But if anybody can do it and has the experience to cope with that and can break back into the team and make a difference, then it's quite possibly him.
Phil, from a Chelsea perspective, they did very, very well to stop Atletico Madrid coming back into the second leg at Stamford Bridge. Is that a template for the way they can shut out Real Madrid, their neighbours, this time?
Quite possibly, Andy. I think Chelsea have been excellent, haven't they, defensively, ever since Thomas Tuchel stepped into the job. There's one aberration against West Brom at home, of course, but aside from that, It's been a remarkable defensive effort, 12 clean sheets in the last 17 games. The pressure, of course, will be stepped up in the circumstances in the second leg of a semi-final, and that might be an additional factor. Real Madrid, although they've gone out in the round of 16 in the previous two seasons, of course, are so used to these sort of situations and still have the nucleus of that group of players intact. So from that respect, it'll be a slightly different challenge to the Atletico game. But I think that's how Chelsea are trying to treat it, and that's the point Thomas Tuchel has tried to make to his players. Just do what you do. Forget the circumstances. Concentrate on the task in hand. And if they can do that, they've proved that they've got the quality, I think, to keep out virtually any side in Europe.
Yeah, Chelsea without Mateo Kovacic through injury. Antonio Rudiger should be able to play wearing a protective mask after an injury he picked up in the first leg. Tuchel also saying, Phil, that he didn't know if Real Madrid would play 4-3-3, 3-5-2. And you said there that they'll play the way they want to play. What do you think, or what have you read in the Spanish media, is any indication of what Madrid are going to do for the second leg?
I think because it didn't work particularly well, did it? The back three, and there were reasons for that. Marcelo was playing wing back and hadn't featured a lot in the first leg. The indication is that Ferland Mendy is going to be fit to return. So I would suspect, particularly given the circumstances, that they have to score as well, that they would revert to the back four. Nobody in Spain seems to quite know. There's almost question marks over about four different players, Ramos being one of them, of course, and Eden Hazard notably being another. But the sort of word from Spain that I've been picking up today is that, little to my surprise, Azar is in line to start the game. He did at the weekend, faded as that match against Osasuna went on, but that would be some story if he were in from the start, and some statements of intent maybe from Zidane.
Phil, thank you very much. Look forward to your commentary tomorrow night. Phil Blacker, covering Chelsea versus Real Madrid for us on Matchday Live from 8 o'clock CET on all the usual places, including UEFA.com and the Champions League app. Let's switch things back to tonight's action. Manchester City will play either Real Madrid or Chelsea, of course, in the Istanbul showpiece at the end of the month. Let's hear from the match winner again, Riyad Mahrez, who said his team defended superbly tonight.
When you play semi-final of Champions League, you have to be solid. Everyone has to defend. Everyone has to contribute for the defensively, and that's what we did. I think we was very solid today. Didn't concede much, and that's why we're in the final. We have another game Saturday. We have to win to be champion, I think, and then we're gonna concentrate on the final of the Champions League.
Stephen Wyeth and Andy Brassel with me for the closing stages here. Stephen, do you think whoever they face in the final, would you have City as favourites?
I'm not. Do you know what? It's an intriguing one, Rob. I think they'd probably rather face the 13-time winners Real Madrid, because Chelsea beat Manchester City very recently in the semi-finals of the FA Cup in England. And I wonder whether that just adds a layer of intrigue as to whether or not Pep Guardiola feels as though Thomas Tuchel might just know something that he hasn't quite worked out yet. An all-English final would be fascinating, of course, wouldn't it? But it seems crazy, but I think the first-time finalists might just quite fancy facing the 13-time winner.
OK, quickly, Stephen, your player of the match.
Ruben Diaz, outstanding.
Andy Brassel, you get unsung hero.
Alexander Zinchenko helped create the first goal, helped stop Neymar getting an equaliser.
Oh, that's a good shout as well. OK, gents, thank you very much. That's all we have time for this evening. Congratulations, then, to the Premier League champions elected, would appear Manchester City, for also making it through to their first ever UEFA Champions League final. A reminder to join us tomorrow, that's Wednesday the 5th of May from 8 p.m. CET, to find out who will face Pep Guardiola's men in Istanbul. Guardiola into his first final, of course, in a decade. Full uninterrupted commentary of the second semi-final second leg between Chelsea and Real Madrid comes from Stamford Bridge, your panel tomorrow night. Chris Parrott, Phil Blackett and Kevin Hatchard, with the score finally poised at 1-1 after the first leg in the Spanish capital. Don't forget to download our podcast shortly after every single match night via your favourite podcast provider. But from me and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.